So today we're talking about the one answer to all your questions. We all have questions. It's actually good for us to have questions. However, where we find our answers is actually really important. I mean, what questions do you have? What job should I get? Who should I marry? What are the Nephilim, and how did the sons of God and the daughters of men create this? Like, what is that, and how does that work? You know, pre-trib, post-trib, or it could just be a simple question. What do I do with this task at work? How do I deal with annoying coworkers? What do I do in these situations? How do I best handle this opportunity that's risen up? You know, and all of these questions we can find our answer really in one place. And here's the beauty of it, I guess, and the aspect of it that might bother our flesh the most, because we're talking about one answer to all your questions. It's not always the answer that we want to hear, but it's really the answer that we need. And the answer is this. The answer to every single question we have is abide, listen, and obey. Put that in the comments. The answer to all of my questions is found in abiding, listening, and obeying. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. But again, all these things that all these questions that we brought up, we find that answer in one place, in Him. In Him, we find the answers that we need. Even when we're talking about like something crazy like the Nephilim, or yeah. You know, like where it's kind of, it doesn't really make sense, or maybe I can spend a lot of time studying it out and all that stuff. But really, it's found in that place of abiding, listening, and obeying that I really get to the root of why am I even asking this question, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many questions that we might have that we don't even need to be asking at this moment, you know? And when I'm in Him and I'm fellowshipping with Him and I'm abiding, listening, and obeying, it actually helps me to learn how to ask the right questions.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're asking questions that we shouldn't be asking. And when I'm in Him,
yeah.
He'll help me to ask the right questions.
Yeah.
And you know, like, and I've learned a lot of this just by being around Pastor. I've learned a lot of things being around Pastor. But like, I'll ask him a question. And you actually see Jesus do this all the time too, you know, like where the disciples ask him a question and then he just follows it up with a question, you know,
yeah.
How about this? The Pharisees come up to Jesus. How come your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders and they don't wash their hands before they eat? And Jesus says, how come you, for the sake of your traditions, like, defile the commandment of God with your tradition? So he's like following it up with the question. He's not answering their question, although he did eventually answer the question, but he answered the question that they needed to hear. You know, he gave them what they needed to hear. So there have been times when I'm asking Pastor a question and he just addresses my response to let's say there's a problem or an opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, Pastor, what do I do? And then he begins to just address my response to the opportunity. Are you at rest? Are you at peace? But I just want us to answer the question. Just give me an answer to my question. I don't really need to deal with myself. I just want to answer the question. But mm-hmm. he's helping me to first, and we heard this on the broadcast yesterday, relax, mm-hmm. abide, listen, and obey, and then just do what God's telling me to do. And but the answer to all of our questions is found in abiding, listening, and obeying. Because why are we asking the question? You know, mm-hmm. why do we have these questions? Well, we want answers, but really, we want to find victory. We want to find triumph. Whatever situation we're in, or even the questions that we might have. Let's say I'm reading the Bible and I read something that really doesn't make sense to my logic and my reasoning. A lot of times we want answers because we want to, we want to know God. We want to understand His Word, but we also don't want to manipulate what God's trying to say, you know, and a lot of times we can get into fear and different things in that aspect. I just want to know what His Word says because I don't want to handle it poorly. I don't want to handle it wrongly, you know, and so I want to know. Well, I don't always have to know. What I have to do is I have to just abide, listen, and obey. And so, but why do I need to know this? Well, I don't always need to know this, but why do I feel like I need to know this? Because I don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be off base, you know. I know when I first started learning more about faith and divine healing and prosperity and different aspects of His Word, I started learning that, and a lot of people started telling me, This is heresy. This is false doctrine. You're getting into this, these demonic doctrines and stuff like that. And so I got into a fear of being deceived because people were telling me, you're deceived. So I dove right into the Word and I studied it and studied it and studied it and studied it. And guess what? That was kind of wrong, you know, because I was being motivated by fear, not love, but fear of missing it. Now, did I learn a lot in His Word? Did I get a lot of knowledge out of that? Absolutely. But my foundation was in my understanding and in my study. My foundation wasn't in Him. But the Bible tells us in Him, Acts 17:28, in Him we live and move and have our being, right? Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:14 that it says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, right? In Him. So I'm not led to theological triumph in my study. I'm led into theological triumph in Him. The Bible also tells us, even in that aspect of I'm wanting to know, like that desire to know, the Bible says that you'll have an anointing from the Holy One and you'll know, right? So it's even in Him that I find that knowledge. If you go into 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you find that all of these things are not logically discerned or they're not discerned by me trying to get an answer. They're discerned in Him, right?
Yeah.
Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul even talks about, I didn't come with you in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, right? I'm not trying to convince you logically. I'm just bringing you the Holy Spirit. Because he says these things are not naturally carnally discerned. They're spiritually discerned. Mm-hmm. You discern them by the Spirit. And I can't discern by the Spirit by operating in my head, but I discern by the Spirit by abiding, listening, and obeying.
Yeah.
You also see in James chapter 1 where it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, if you got questions, he says, ask me and I'll give it to you. It doesn't say he'll give it to you right away, you know, which is a lot of times what we prefer. Like, God, I need to know this answer now. I need to know it. I need to know it now.
Yeah.
Do you? Because if he's not giving you the answer now, you might not need to know it now. Or you're not abiding.
Yeah.
Right? Because if I'm in fear, where am I not?
In
Him. In Him. I'm not abiding in Him because there's no fear in love. And if I'm in love, which He is love, and I'm in fear, I'm not in Him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Matthew 11:20. I'm sorry, I'm just spitting out all these scriptures. But Matthew 11:28-30 tells us, He says, come to me if you're weary and heavy laden, right? So if I'm bothered by this question, if I'm irritated about the fact that I don't have an answer to this question, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this opportunity. I don't know what to do with this word. A pastor said something and I disagreed with him and I don't really know how that fits and how that makes sense. If I'm irritated and bothered by meditating on this question, I'm not in Him.
Yeah.
I'm not abiding because I'm not at rest. I'm not abiding because I'm not in peace. I'm not abiding because I'm not in that place where I know, I'm not in that place of love where I know God will let me know what I need to know. And I'll say one more thing. I'm so sorry.
No, it's good.
But I remember when I first heard Brother Tracy, I was bothered because I couldn't really mentally grasp all that he was saying. Because he's like, if you've ever listened to a message by Brother Tracy Harris, oh my goodness. Like people say it's like drinking from a fire hose, right?
Yeah.
Because it was all going over my head. And because I laid my foundation on knowing.
Yes.
I didn't like him because I wasn't able to mentally comprehend what he was saying.
Yeah.
And that fed into that fear of deception, that fear of not having answers, that fear of not knowing.
Yeah.
And so when I met him for the first time, Pastor was with me and Pastor said to him with me right there, so Buddy had an interesting time at the service last night and everything in me was like, why are you saying this? Because I was literally just telling you that I didn't really like him.
Yeah.
And Brother Chase was like, oh yeah. I was like, and so I shared a lot of the things that I said, you know, a lot of people said that I was being deceived, but you know, by getting into that. So So I really wanted to know, you know, and since I wasn't able to comprehend, you know, the things that you were sharing, I didn't like it because I wasn't able to comprehend it. And he gave me a verse that that really helped me, and it was something Jesus said in the book of John. I want to say it's John 4:4, but it's probably not. But essentially, Jesus said this: if you will to do His will, you'll know concerning doctrine whether it's from the Lord or not. So if I have a desire to honor and to please Him and to love Him, and this is important, and I'm willing to abide in Him, because if I will to do His will, not my own, not if I will to know, like that's another thing, like it's not if you will to know His will, no. If you just have a desire, God, I just want You, I just want Your will, I just want Your peace, I just want Your grace, I just want You, in that abiding, listening, and obeying, comes the knowing.
Yeah.
That's where the answers come. That's where the help comes. If I have a question about the Nephilim and God wants to give me the answer and He's like, all right, this is the time to bring it to you, it's found in that abiding, listening, and obeying. It's not found in me looking up 17 articles on Google, you know, trying to understand it. You know, or then I come up with like the rock monsters that you like see in like the book of Noah. The movie Noah, you know, like what are these rock monsters? Oh, that's the Nephilim. You know what I mean? And like, we can get so off base when we feel like I need to know. I had a weird dream last night. I need to know an answer. You know, if the Lord didn't instantly give you an understanding of that dream, like you don't need to know. You can bring it up to your pastors and your leaders. You can bring it up to God and say, God, I trust You enough. You'll give me the interpretation. I'm not going to Google interpretations for stuff like that, because that can easily get me off base. Because my foundation now is not in my abiding, listening, and obeying. My foundation is now in something that I just looked up on the internet. And I should never make my foundation off that. Now, that article can give you scriptures, but just because I can give you scriptures to back up my understanding, I mean, that's why we have so many stinking... how long ago did I say I would stop and, like, let you talk? I'm so sorry.
No, it's great. What you're saying is great.
But like,
if the Holy Spirit's saying it, it doesn't matter if it's coming through me or you. It doesn't matter.
I know, but I just realized. I said, I'll say one more thing, and then I'll hand it over to you. And
you
I said, like,
gusher,
15
though.
More
you hit,
things.
You hit something. It's
but,
good.
Like, how many denominations do we have now of people who they can give you a script, like scriptures to back up what they believe and what they say, but it's all found, like the real answers, the true genuine answers, true wisdom is not found in just me being able to piece scriptures together. True biblical wisdom is found in fellowship with Him. Wisdom is only found in one place, in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. It's all found in Him.
Yeah, that's really good. As you were talking, one thing that came up to me is I think a lot of people in the abide, listen, and obey have really focused mostly on the listen and obey part. And there's a lot of resources and stuff on like how to hear God's voice and stuff. People want to listen. There's definitely a lot of doctrine out there on how to obey and do the right thing. But I think people haven't had the abide part really down. People haven't. Everybody. Pastor said the other day he doesn't think that we have realized how important intimate fellowship is. That is the key to everything. And I think, honestly, a lot of people we've forgotten that. The world has gotten us really busy and really just focused on the tasks and focused on things. And it's so important for us to just get back down to the abide part, because in Him we live and move and have our being. We can't do anything without Him. And like Proverbs, the verse that came up to me is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. But how many times have I done that? I've heard you say that you've done that. Honestly, I know we've had similar ditches and defaults and things that we've done. Like, honestly, a lot of times if I'm in the vicinity and pastor's talking to you about something, usually if I listen to that, that's what I need to hear too. How many times I've asked pastor so many times a question, and he's like, why are you asking that question? Why? Because It's not a, the root of it is a lack of trusting in God. Trust in the Lord. You know, there's a reason why trust in the Lord with all your heart, it's before lean not on your own understanding.
Yeah.
For me, when I have not been trusting the Lord with all my heart, that's when I have tried to lean on my own understanding. And if we would just trust the Lord, even if we've been saved for 50 years, if we would just actually trust the Lord, how much would that fix? That would fix everything.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, whenever you have questions or whenever I have questions, you know, and I bring it to the Lord, like even thinking back to James chapter 1, you know, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, you know, and he'll give it freely without rebuke. Like, that's his heart. His heart is to bring revelation to us. You know, that's God's heart. His heart is to bring revelation to us. So, like, whatever question we might have, it's his heart and it's in his character and his nature to bring revelation to us. However, you go on a little bit, you know, in chapter 4, and he says, you ask and you don't receive because you're not asking with the right motives.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm asking for wisdom without the right motives and without the right heart, I'm not going to receive that wisdom and that answer, you know, and that's when it, like, goes into, you know, asking pastor for, like, a question, and then he'll say, why are you asking that question? And then my flesh response is, why aren't you answering my question? You know? And but ultimately, what matters more to God than bringing answers to my question is my heart. You know? Like, it matters more to God that I'm in the right place and that I'm okay. You know? Because he loves me. He loves me more than I honestly think. You know, like, I feel like the most loving thing he can do for me right now is give me an answer. When really, the most loving thing that he can do for me right now is what his love says I need right now. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm abiding in him and abiding in that fellowship with him, I'm recognizing and I'm learning that true love casts out all the fear of what if I don't get an answer. You know, true love breaks all of that off. And in that place of abiding in his awesome love, that's really all that I need. Mm-hmm. So here's the, and that's the part that our flesh doesn't like, you know, okay, but let's say right now, Serena and I are believing for a car, right? So, Lord, what's the next step? What do I have to do right now? I need an answer. I need to know what I should be doing right now, right? I need an answer. Lord, what do you want me to do right now? And, like, if he doesn't say anything, guess what I need to be doing right now? Abiding, listening, and obeying. I don't need a, well, should I go to this car lot and start, like, looking at cars? You know, like, I can try to come up with all these different things, or how about, like, this is a big thing, you know, like, okay, like, I need to grow in my productivity in work. So I'm going to go read a book about being more productive, and, oh, that book's going to give me a nice little logical list of things that I need to do. And I can take that list and just start running with it, and guess what? I could probably do more, you know, than I could before, but it's not done from that position of in him. I can be busy but not productive, right? Mm-hmm. See, Jesus said in John 15, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. And hear this. He says, you are already clean. That word also means pruned, because of the word which I have spoken to you. And then he says this, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. And put this in the comments. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Like,
nothing.
That's intense, right? Mm-hmm. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But I read this article, and it gave a lot of great pointers, and so I started applying them, and it started to do some stuff. Yeah, but was it done from him, in him, abiding in that place of in him? Because the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, Psalm 127, they labor in vain who build it. So I might be in the natural and in my logic be producing more, but is it lasting fruit? Right? Is it fruit that comes from the place of in him? Because it's all found, the real answer is found in him. I could naturally be more productive in like natural logical sense of I've been able to budget my time better and I've been able to do more in this aspect of it. And there could be a root of that that's found in him that could be good. But I can easily put myself in this dangerous place of now my sources become books.
Yeah.
Then my sources become him. You know,
yeah.
I read 5 books a month, you know, and I'm becoming more and more productive as time goes on. That's great. But what's your source? Is it the books and is it the knowledge or is it him? Serena and I were actually talking about this earlier today, you know, how amazing it was the people that Jesus chose to be his disciples. He didn't choose the educated and the trained. He chose the uneducated and the untrained men. That's why they marveled in the book of Acts that these were just uneducated and untrained men. And there they are quoting scriptures and doing all these things. Where did they get that understanding and that knowledge? By being with Jesus. They recognized that they had been with Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? They recognized that they had spent that time in those years abiding and having fellowship with Jesus. And because they were in him, they knew. Because they were in him, they just weren't able to quote scripture because they were in, honestly, some of the people who can quote the most scripture have the least understanding of faith and being in him because their foundation is their understanding and their logic. And if, well, I try this out and because I based it off of my understanding, I don't believe that God still does miracles anymore. Yeah, there's scriptures, but let me logically explain that away because I prayed for someone and they didn't get healed. So, like, obviously, logically, that scripture can't be true. So let me try to logically understand why some people die of cancer and some people get healed. Maybe it's, oh, I guess logically, sometimes it's God's will to heal and sometimes it's God. And they logic all these doctrines out. And because their foundation is not the word and their foundation, well, they believe their foundation is the word, but their foundation is not from that place of in him. They, in their logic, have created these doctrines, and that's where you got the Pharisees.
Yeah.
You know, they did the exact same thing. Jesus does a mighty miracle right in front of them, and they're like, "This guy's full of the devil." Right? Why? Because they were because their whole foundation was not Jesus. Their whole foundation was not in God, who they claimed to serve. Their whole foundation was in what they understood.
Yeah.
And in their study and in their degrees and in their and in the amount of books that they've read. That's and the amount of people that they followed and teachings mm-hmm. that they received. Recognize you can nonstop you can like spend all of your waking hours listening to Bible teachings and reading doctrinal mm-hmm. books and theological books and not know God.
Yeah,
because definitely. All of it's done from just the place of I'm seeking more knowledge and more understanding, and it can be done from a place of fear or from a place of pride. I just want to know. Like a lot of times, that's like the source of why we're asking questions. I just want to know, and you know, sometimes like I just want to ask this question because even asking the question makes me sound smart. You know?
Yeah, like, it's all fear based. Though.
Yeah.
It reminds me a great example of how to of the right way of operating in this is T.L. Osborne.
Mm.
So I read a T.L. Osborne book a couple years ago, and the whole book was like, it was called Your God's Best, and the whole book is, I know it's like your favorite book, and the whole book.
Well, I hated that book.
You hated
because
it?
Because my foundation was in my natural logic.
Yeah.
And I had a problem with it.
Yeah.
I probably need to go back and read it again, though, but because my foundation was logic, I didn't like that book.
Yeah. So
that's why I was smiling.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to bring it up because of that, but it is a great example So I someone bought me the book, and they were like, you need to read this. So I'm reading the book, and the whole thing is just exhortation of God loves you. You are God's best. God would create.
That makes me sound so dumb. Like I hated that book, and the whole book's about like God loves you, and I'm like, I hate this book.
There
was aspects of it that really that my logic didn't like.
Yeah, but the book was very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
There was no extremely in depth doctrine to make T.L. Osborne look smart. Like he wasn't showing off anything.
Yeah.
He was just God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And what's amazing though is I would actually I want to look into T.L. Osborne's life more,
mm-hmm.
but I do know he references in the book going to other countries, mm-hmm. and he's speaking, you are God's best. This message that God gave him that is so simple,
mm-hmm.
and a man came up who was just like in a horrible situation. He was like, he was not barely even wearing clothes. I think he was like living in a hole in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think he might've been possessed like by demons. I'm not sure exactly, but it was very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that message is what set him free.
Amen.
The message that God loved him. That's what carried the anointing and the power of God to get someone who, I mean, you can't be in a much worse situation than you're basically naked and living in a hole in the dirt. Like,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't get much worse than that.
Yeah.
And what saved him was, you are God's best.
Mm-hmm.
God loves you. And what a humbling reminder of how much time we have spent on things that don't matter.
Yeah.
Because if we actually want the lost to get saved and people to get their bondages to get broken, we have to share God's love with them.
Yeah. And here's the fun thing, because, you know, like I'm in Bible college right now at Impact, and I've been in Bible college before too. But like that simple message, you know, you are God's best and stuff like that. Like, what, and that reminds me of like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right? Like,
yes,
I didn't come to you with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Yes.
And that's basically the opposite of what I was taught in Bible college. Not here at Impact, but that's like the opposite. Like, for every 1 hour of preaching, you should spend 10 hours in study, you know, like crafting this beautiful manuscript, so that, you know, of with bringing your introduction, you know, the tension point, you know, bringing out the problem, and then you produce the answers, you know, in your 3 points, but there's one overlying point, and then you bring in the application point, and then you bring in the fallen condition focus, reminding people that they're hopeless without Jesus, and then bringing in Jesus, and like all these things that we need to craft and form, you know, and it's our job to make people understand, and it's our job to make people get it, which it's not, because, you know, like, obviously we want people to understand it, we want people to get it. But
that's
where
the
does
Holy
that?
Spirit's
but
job.
That's the Holy Spirit's job.
Yeah.
It's the anointing that causes people to know.
Yeah.
It's not how well I outline my message to bring them through this story and to bring them through this natural logical progression to get them to my overarching point, so that they can really get it. You know, bringing in all of these good one-liners that they can tweet out, you know, and make some good reels and all that stuff. I don't need any of that. And that's not how Paul operated.
Yeah.
But now that's what we're taught. So how many pulpits now, like, do we have in America and around the world where all that's being brought out is logic, right? Because, again, what did he say? I didn't come to you with persuasive words of man's wisdom. And this is what he said. So that your faith will not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God.
Yep.
That my faith should not rest on the wisdom of men. My faith should rest on the power of God. So where does wisdom come? It comes through just that place of fellowship.
Yeah.
The answer that comes to you might be so much more simpler than you think it should be.
Yeah.
It might not come in a list of, all right, you do A, then you do B, then you do C, then you do D, and then that'll bring you your solution. It might not come in that way. It might come in just as simple, God loves you. He has a great plan for your life. Just trust him and just pray in the Holy Ghost. You know, just abide in him. Just let that fellowship produce the help. You know, let being in that position of fellowship give you the answer when you need it. Not when you want it, but when you need it, right? Just abide in him. Stop looking for you know, some new revelation that's never been heard before. You know, like, oh man, I just want something new. I want something fresh. How about you just go back to fellowship and yeah. whatever the Lord tells you, do that. You know, like, yeah. like I don't need to, like, honestly, even today's broadcast, you know, how many times have you guys heard about abiding, listening, and obeying? So much. A lot. Like, a stinking ton. You know? Like, yeah, have we heard this message on them? Like, even to the point where, you know, our numbers are lower. You know, like, not saying, like, it's normally been that way on Fridays, but there could have been people who jumped on, all right, what's the answer to my question? Oh, Aloe, I've heard this 1,000 times. I already know this. Yeah. Like, let me just go back to another broadcast, you know? You know, but here's the thing, like our brains want something more complicated.
Yeah.
Why? That's our flesh. Our flesh wants a complicated answer because the simple answer, we already know that. Well, here's the thing. Yeah. You probably already know what you need to do. You're just not doing it, which is why we're coming back to this place. Yeah. Why do we keep talking about abiding, listening, and obeying? Pastor just preached on this yesterday and he's
been
preaching.
We haven't been doing it.
Yeah. Like what? Like the answer comes from that place.
That's everybody. Like yeah. everybody
can do better.
Can grow in this.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
If that were not the case, all of us would. I mean, our shadows would be making people like fall. Mm. Like we would yeah. see a higher. If we were in Him.
Yeah.
More. You know, the level that we should be, we would be seeing a higher manifestation of signs yeah. and wonders and miracles. Mm-hmm. And not, I don't mean that to be condemning at all. I just mean that to say yeah. there's more. We shouldn't pat ourselves on the back and be like, you know what, I'm not in like mm-hmm. this deep, dark sin, so I'm good. I'm just going to stay comfy where I am.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we all can grow, all of yeah. us. Even Pastor said the other day, he was ministering, and he even said for himself, he needs to get an intimate fellowship even yeah. more, all mm-hmm. of us. So it is kind of indicative of the numbers, like, dropping. Like, it's, mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe we could have communicated better. I'm not saying, like, people yeah. are the problem, anything like
yeah.
that. But
yeah.
sometimes you will see with certain messages, mm-hmm. like, if you, like, for instance, if the thumbnail and title of this message was just God loves you, you mm-hmm. know, how many people... They
I
might
know,
not.
I know.
I know
me.
God loves me, so
but
I don't
do we?
To click on that.
Yeah.
yeah. And this is me too. Like, yeah. would I? It's challenging for me too. I need mm-hmm. to ask myself.
Yeah.
If there was a message that was just titled "God loves you," mm-hmm. would I click on that or not? Do mm-hmm. I think that I have arrived and mm-hmm. I understand God's love?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like my flesh would be like, yeah, I wouldn't click on it. You know.
yeah. Exactly.
But the thing is, we all always need to continue to build that foundation and recognize that the answer is not always what we think we need. Like, yeah. like I've said this so many times, you know, to the youth, you know, a lot of times we're like, God, I need an answer. God, I need an answer. God, I don't know what to do with this situation, you know, and then God, let's say that Sunday morning or maybe that day on the broadcast, right? Even like right here, right now on the broadcast today, right? You could have been asking God for answers and you could have been asking him for help. And then God presents you that answer. I mean, that's why we call this broadcast a daily on-time word for the people, right? Mm-hmm. And then we can look at the title of the broadcast and be like, well, that's not what I need. I need something else, right?
Yeah.
Almost as if we think we know what we need more than God knows what we need. You know, like, oh, well, if Pastor's not in the word, then what's going to be brought out is not what we need. You know, mm-hmm. no. God knows what we need more than we know what we need, which is why the answer is found in Aloe. It's found in abiding, listening, and obeying.
Yeah.
He knows, put this in the comments, God knows what I need more than I know what I need. And
yeah.
so, and I've said this many times, you know, like in youth, it's like, we could be asking God for an answer. And then we're at church on a Sunday morning and we're just zoned out. and distracted. Or we're thinking this person needs that message. You know, so this other person really needs to
hear
this.
Man, these three people in the congregation, they really need to, I hope they're listening. And you're like looking at them like, are they listening to this message today? They really need it.
Yeah, and we're completely missing that God's bringing an answer to our question, right?
Yeah.
Or the broadcast is up today and we're like, I don't know what to do with, my life just seems so hectic and busy, but I don't have time to watch the broadcast today. You know, and I just don't know what to do. You know, and like we can think, like we can pull up, the broadcast today is just God loves you. Like that's not going to help me right now. Let me just try to figure this out or try to get some other answer. You know what I mean? A lot of times the answers that we're asking for, or we just have our shepherd and our pastor right there, you know, or our life group leaders right there and available, but we don't reach out. We'd rather Google it, you know, and find an answer instead of reaching out to the one who's anointed to bring us those
answers. I know
what
they're going to say. I already know what they're going to say. So I need to figure it out.
Yeah. And so we're asking for, we're wanting answers. We're seeking answers to our questions. But most of the time, God's already given us access to the answer.
Yeah.
You know, he's already given it to us. And if we were to just take some time to stop and listen, God will say, hey, just listen to the broadcast today. Or when pastor says, you need to listen to each broadcast, you know. Like a lot of times when that comes out, like this is a really important message. Everyone needs to hear this, you know, and like he'll tell people that, like, hey, rewatch this broadcast today, you know, rewatch this broadcast a couple times. Pastor will hear that and it'll just go right past our head. You know, it'll just go right past us because we don't esteem it as if in that. But if we're in that position of abiding, listening and obeying, we'll hear that word. Okay, I'll do that. I'll listen to this broadcast again. Or, I need to esteem this word. I need to esteem it and I need to listen to it. And what we'll find in that place of abiding, listening and obeying and just esteeming, you know, what God has made available to us, that's where our answers are found. Mm-hmm. You know, it's found in that place of abiding, listening and obeying.
I think Hannah had something. We can pass it over to her and see what you had.
So, it's so cool how the flow of the Holy Ghost is. You guys just hit on this, but it's not getting familiar with where you are. Don't get familiar in your hunger. Don't get familiar in your planting. That esteem that Buddy was just talking about, you know, I mean, just a personal testimony. I have watched hours and hours and hours and hours of Lunch Plus. And I've seen, like, there will be things that come up out of my spirit that I know have come from this broadcast. Yeah. I know for a fact it's come from watching this broadcast. So even if you have to watch this particular broadcast 10 times in a row, obviously, you know, space it out. Don't just sit there and watch it like, like it, even if you have to just watch it over and over and over and over, there's no arriving in God. Like we can grow in our revelation of his love for us today, like Marky was saying. We can put on that fresh esteem today, like Buddy was just saying. There, I'm believing, applying my faith, that Fridays, there's not going to be low numbers anymore because people are just that hungry. And once we shift our hunger and get out of familiarity with God, get out of familiarity with the planting, get out of familiarity with thinking, oh, I've heard this message before. I know how to aloe. Do you? Why are you having problems? And it is, like, it's not to be condemning, but sometimes we need these wake-up calls. Sometimes we need to be reminded, why do I think I have even the right to be familiar with God? Mm-hmm. He's a holy God. Earlier this year, when we kick-started off the year, what did Brother Tracy minister to us? We've got to get a fear of the Lord. And in a fear of the Lord, I don't want to get familiar with where he's planted me. I don't want to just think, oh, I know what to expect, or I know how God's going to operate, or I know what my pastors are going to say. Getting out of that familiarity, thinking we know what to do, and getting content as well in the daily diligences. Getting content in the daily, I'm listening to Lunch Plus, I'm putting it on, even when my flesh is flailing. Honestly, there's days when my flesh is freaking out, but I put on Lunch Plus anyways, and I make my flesh put in its place, and I listen to it anyways. There's not times when My flesh is just like, I'm just so excited to be humble today. No, the flesh doesn't want to do that, but we do it anyways because we love God. And it's that getting out of familiarity. So I just thought it was so cool how the Holy Ghost yeah. was hitting on that. So yeah. glory to God.
It reminds me of, have you heard how Pastor says, I don't know what exactly his time frame was, but there was a period of time where he meditated on one thing for a long time, and it was just the love of God. Yeah. And like the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him get off of that, but how... honestly, it's mm-hmm. been stretching to me, and something I've been realizing is if the Lord wants us to meditate on one thing, are we willing to do that? Or do we feel like, no, I need to meditate on 10 things today. I need to read all these different scriptures and fill my knowledge up with all these things. Or
but I'm like 10 days into my 365-day Bible reading plan, and I really committed to give myself to it. But now the Lord's telling me to like read yeah. through the book of John.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If the Lord told us to read John 3:16 every day, mm-hmm. like would we do it? If he wanted yeah. us to just meditate on John 3:16 all day, mm-hmm. would we do it? Or do we feel like we need to lean on our understanding mm-hmm. and have 10 verses that I meditate on all day.
Yeah.
Like, I want to find the ones that I don't remember and mm-hmm. find the thing. I need to know all the things.
Yeah.
Or am I content in just abiding, mm-hmm. listening, and obeying
yeah.
and just yeah. meditating on his love and yeah. being in intimate fellowship. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. love and intimate fellowship, they go hand yeah. in hand. Like
yeah.
that's like you and Serena. If you were to take out the aspect of love from your relationship with Serena, like mm-hmm. you got stuff, but like
you're
taking out the most important thing.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I think it's so important for us to just go back to the basics and esteem the message of God's love. Esteem yeah. abiding, listening, yeah. and obeying, mm-hmm. even when we feel like we need to understand, was the Nephilim real? Yeah. Like, what is that? Mm-hmm. Don't, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just like, don't worry about it. Like,
yeah, just aloe.
Forget it.
Yeah, yeah, just abide, listen, and obey. But like, our flesh always tries to overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, okay, I need, like, let's make it practical. Mm. I need, let's say someone says, I need finances for the rest of the year. I need finances for Christmas, mm-hmm. and I have some bills coming up. Mm-hmm. And then let's say I say, I need this, I need money, I need answers, I need help. And mm-hmm. then the answer is?
Hello, abide, listen, obey.
Are we okay with that?
And if we're not... we gotta be.
Yeah. We gotta be.
There's some flesh that needs to be put down in that aspect of it. If I'm not okay with the answer being, just have fellowship with the Lord and Savior who loves you more than anything in the world and has a desire to bring all provision, all supply, all healing, all the goodness of God to you, you just gotta trust Him and abide in fellowship with Him, right? Like, now, there's like a wrong way to approach like distrust in God where like it's just like superfluous, you know, like I remember just growing up and like people would preach trust in God, like, hey, everything's just terrible in your life, just trust God, like he knows what he's doing and he's working it out. But yeah. it's like a superficial trust in God, you know, that's not actually founded on the word, you know, it's not, or not founded on faith, yeah. if that makes sense, like just yeah. this like wishy-washy, hey, sarah, sarah, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
Just trust God. That's not what we're talking about.
It's like dismissive.
Because, yeah, because again, look at, you look at James chapter 1, verse 5, but you look at Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It doesn't just say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He doesn't end there. He doesn't just say, you know, I'll just trust me. But he does say, I'll give you rest. But then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so in that abiding, there is a yoke. There's a direction that he'll lead you on. There's the learning from him. He'll teach you. That's the listening part.
Yeah.
So like, it's not just like this superficial, oh yeah, just trust him. but you never know what's going to happen next. No, again, you'll have an anointing and you'll know. Like there is a knowing that comes from it, but sometimes that knowing is just your spirit knows.
Yeah.
Where your head doesn't know. My spirit knows God's got it handled. God's got it worked out. That's where that place of rest is found. If I am not at rest because my brain doesn't know it yet, right? Because my brain doesn't understand how the logical pieces of how it's going to work out. If I'm not at rest because of that, then I'm not in my spirit. You know, I'm not in Him. But when I'm in Him, all that knowing is going to come. And there will be a moment, though, where He'll provide that revelation and it'll get into your head. But in my spirit, I know. Well, Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask and God will give it to you. So the second I ask in the spirit, I have the answer. I have that knowledge. I have it in my spirit, man. That's why I've been trying to stop saying, I don't know what to do. Because He knows what to do. And if I am in Him, and if I asked Him for that wisdom, and I believe I have received it, I know what to do. My brain doesn't know it yet, you know, but I have that answer in Him.
Yeah.
And so whether my brain understands it or not, I can still be at peace because I know my God's got it handled. He's working all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. So I'm just going to abide in Him. I have the answer. I'm in Him. He's the answer anyway. You know, like it's found in Him. I conquer this situation in Him, not in my understanding, but in Him.
And that's the difference of what you're talking about before is that's not a whatever happens, happens. I don't care what happens.
Yeah.
That's faith that I know the end point will be my success.
Yeah.
You're applying faith in that. I trust my God because He's going to provide.
Yeah.
It's not just whatever. If He doesn't provide, I'll just live outside.
Yeah, if He leads me, if this whole situation ends in my destruction and downfall and shame and misery and death, well, I trust Him anyway.
It's trusting God, even though I don't know exactly, or even though my brain doesn't yet have the information of exactly what's going to happen, in my spirit, I know He's leading me to triumph.
Yeah.
In my spirit, I know He's giving me all that I need, the provision that I need for this month, the money that I need, the answers that I need, the wisdom, the peace, everything I need, I know I will have it. I know in the spirit I have it now, so even I take it now. And by faith, I take it now, and I have it. But my brain doesn't need all the answers. And that trust in God will lead us to faith. Trust in God doesn't lead us to passivity and just whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
Trust in God leads to faith, which takes the promises, takes what I need. So, amen. Glory to God. God's so good. God's good. Yeah. I'm not going to just add fake words.
Yeah.
I was done and I was done.
Well, that's a part of abiding.
It is.
You know, like, I'm not going to add to say things that the Lord's not saying. I could continue talking and talking and talking because I feel like I need to keep talking.
That's honestly something that I was realizing recently. Mm-hmm. How much of my words are just, like, I'm speaking too much. Like I'm adding where I need to just say what I need to say and just leave it.
Well, I've been in like services where like the preacher comes up and he just like there's been times when pastors just come up and he's just been walking back and forth and he's not saying anything.
Yeah.
You know? And then he'll say, I'm just looking at you. It's like, what is this? Like you're here to preach a message to me, you know, you're here to talk and you're just walking around. Why are you walking around? You know, and my flesh can get uncomfortable in that moment, but if God hasn't given him a word to speak and he just starts speaking because I don't like awkward silences, you know, like that, if you hate awkward silences, you need to learn how to be quiet, like not like shut up, but like you need to learn how to be in a quiet place. You know, you need to learn how to keep your mind and your flesh at peace, even in silence. You know, a lot of times we don't know how to be quiet. And because of that, we don't know how to abide.
Oh, and where is he? Like in the Old Testament, it says like he's not in the
wind and like the all that stuff, but it was that still small
voice.
He's
in the still small voice. Mm-hmm. So if we're not able to get quiet and to get at peace and That honestly is part of the reason why we haven't been hearing from God.
Yeah, and quiet isn't always just I'm in a place and there's no noise.
Yeah,
quiet also.
Because if you have toddlers, like yeah. you might not get no mm-hmm. noise a lot.
Yeah, yeah, but like quiet, like honestly, we need to also be learned. We also need to learn how to be quiet up here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where I can go on a long. Like 4-hour drive, and there'd be absolutely no music, nothing going on. It's just me, and I'm just driving, and I'm cool with it. But up here, everything's just spinning and
yep.
spinning and spinning, and I'm just like entertaining myself with my own thoughts. And what I've needed to learn to quiet is not just my surroundings, you know, because I could be totally comfortable in a quiet place. Some people, they need white noise. They need, you know, the TV to be on at all times. They need some kind of stimulus going on, and that's not always okay. We need to learn how to get by without noise, you know, because, and a lot of times the reason people do that is because they don't want to be left alone up here.
Yeah.
They're afraid of that. I always need to be talking. I always need to have my phone in front of my face because we don't know how to actually just stop and just be quiet. Because up here can be a scary place for some people, you know?
Usually there's worry.
Yeah.
There's something that people are trying to mm-hmm. get. Make things louder than mm-hmm. what's there in their head.
Yeah. And so we need to learn how to be quiet, turn the stuff off, and be quiet, turn this off.
Yeah.
And just abide. Now, I'm not talking about just be like clear your mind, empty your mind, all that weird stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, God, I'm just here. It's just you and me. And I abide in fellowship with you. Mm-hmm. And then just, I'm not thinking about all the things I need to do today or what my bladder is telling me. I'm just thinking about him, and I'm abiding in him. I'm not letting this rule. I'm letting my spirit rule. I'm letting the Holy Spirit through my spirit rule. We don't worship him in logic and understanding. We worship him in spirit and in truth. And so I need to learn how to live by the spirit, not by my understanding. I need to learn how to live by, and this goes into the questions, right? Why are you asking? Is it because you need to understand? Or is it because you're living by the Spirit and the Holy Spirit's bringing it up? You know, that's something the pastor says all the time. And we don't need to keep going and belaboring the point. But is the Holy Spirit bringing that up to you? Is the Lord bringing that question up to you? A lot of times it's just, I want to know. And this is an interesting thing to talk about. You know, but most of the time we don't need to know. We just need to abide. We need to listen and obey. And he'll let us know exactly what we need, when we need it. But we need to learn. We need to learn. And it's basically just the aspect of disciplining our flesh, disciplining our mind, taking our thoughts captive, and learning how to operate by the Spirit. You know, if we've developed habits of operating by the mind, well, let's rewire that, renew our mind, and learn how to live by the Spirit. Yeah. Not by the soul, but learn how to live by the Spirit. Not live by my emotions, but live by the Spirit. Not live by the circumstances and what's going on around me, but living by the Spirit, not living by what makes sense in this moment. I should probably do it this way or handle it this way. No, what's the Holy Spirit teaching me to do in this moment? That's how Jesus operated. He never did anything except what he saw the Father do. He never said anything except what the Father said. He abided. And like one of my favorite stories is when, you know, they brought the woman caught in adultery and said, all right, what do we do? The law of Moses says to stone this woman. What do you say we do? And in that moment, he could have, well, I got to say something. This is a pretty intense situation. And they're all looking at me now, you know, like all that pressure, all this awkward silence. But no, he just stepped back and started drawing in the dirt. And as he's drawing in the dirt, the Bible says they kept pressing him, which means he wasn't answering right away, which means God didn't tell him what to say right away. You know, because he only said what the Father said. So since God didn't say answer, he could have given him an answer right away, but just said, just wait. You know, they're all pressing him, all this pressure from all these outside sources. And he's just drawing in the sand. And then whenever he had that release, because he was in that place of abiding, he was without sin, cast the first stone. Then he continued writing, and then everyone just started filtering away. Right? He had the right answer, not because he was like, I need an answer now, God. God, help me, give me an answer. No, he just stepped back, and in that place of rest and fellowship, all right, what are we doing? All right, he was without sin, cast the first stone. And it was the right answer, the right time, and it shut them all up, like pretty quickly, you know. But it was all just found in that place of abide, listen, and obey. What do? Just abide, listen, and obey. Well, what answer do I give to this person where they're pressuring me? They say, I need an answer right now. Just abide, listen, and obey. Who cares if that man says you need an answer right now? God's not giving you an answer. They don't need an answer right now, you know?
Yeah.
Break off that fear of man and just abide, listen, and obey. Because God knows what you need exactly when you need it.
Yeah. Also, in that story, it's not a story, it really happened, but in that example where mm-hmm. Jesus needed an answer mm-hmm. and he took a moment and he got in him and God gave him an answer, mm-hmm. what was the result of that? It saved a woman's life.
Mm-hmm.
And as we abide in him, as we abide, listen, and obey, mm-hmm. what's the fruit that's going to come from it is we're going to help people.
Yeah.
We're going to have answers for people. We're going to save people. We're going to heal people.
Yeah.
God, it's not all about us. God yeah. wants us to be fruitful.
Yeah.
And as we do this, we're going to bring glory to God and build mm-hmm. the kingdom.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Does this help anyone? So what questions do you have? Put them in the comments. The answer is aloe. Nah, don't put them in the comments because we already gave you the answer. But I hope that helps. And really, like, again, my flesh would like to give you, like, step one, step two, step three. And there might be a time that the Lord will give you that list, but it's all still found in that place of aloe. And so just abide, listen, and obey. And God will give you what you need exactly when you need it. As long as you choose to abide. If you're out trying to figure it out on your own, can't guarantee that. But when you're in him, you'll have all that you need. So Joni says, how do I change the oil in my car? Just abide, listen, and obey. God will help you. He'll give you that wisdom. So let's pray real quick. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just thank you that your word is true, that your love is powerful, it's real, and your love is pointed directly towards us. Father, your eyes are towards us. Your heart is towards us. God, your power is towards us. God, just as the word says in the book of Ephesians, God, let the eyes of our understanding become enlightened so that we can know what is the hope of your calling and what is the glorious riches of your inheritance in the saints and what is the surpassing greatness of your power toward us who believe. Father, your power is directed at us right now. Father, right now in Jesus' name, whatever opportunities people might be encountering today, God, I thank you that your power is present to bring them answers. Your power is present to provide healing. Your power is present to provide answers. Your power is present to bring provision. Your power is present, God, to bring wisdom in everything that they need wisdom in. Father, we just by faith receive you. We abide in you. God, we don't get bogged down with what we don't know and with understanding that we might not have had. Father, we just find rest and peace and refuge in you today.
Yeah.
We abide, and God, we open our ears to get answers. We don't take this message and say, well, I guess he'll tell me whenever he wants to tell me. No, God, we keep our ears open. We keep our spirit in on the on frequency, on the frequency of the flow of the Holy Ghost, so that, God, you can speak to us freely and tell us what we need when we need it. And Father, whatever you tell us to do, that we will do. We'll abide, we'll listen, and we'll obey your commandment because you are always leading us to triumph. We thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, if the Lord is leading you to sow, we want to give you the opportunity to sow into the kingdom today, to sow into this ministry. We also make a partnership available to you. I'm reminded of an incredible series that Pastor did, just teaching on the blessing of partnership. You know, as we partner with this ministry, you know, we actually receive more from our partnership. Like me personally, if I personally partner financially with What's Right, I'm going to come out with
sassier.
I'm going to come out with more benefits than what did you say?
I said sassier.
Sassier. Yeah. I'm going to come out with more benefits than even just what my money is giving this ministry. Like if you look at partnership, the person who sows actually receives so much. There's a list. Pastor gave a a teaching on it. There's so much in the flow of partnership. There's so much provision and grace and help. Like, I mean, he went through everything, and I was just amazed, shocked at how much provision is in partnership. So if you are already a partner, like, apply faith. You have grace through this ministry, through this partnership. If you're not, you can give one time. You can give on a recurring basis every month. You can just sow a dollar. You can sow. It's not about the amount. It's about being led. What is God leading you to do in partnership? Just be led. That's all you need. And in that, God will give you provision.
Yeah.
And God's so good. So we just want to bless every offering today. So in Jesus' name, we call every seed blessed.
Yeah.
We call this seed to produce what it needs to produce. Seed, be blessed. Bring about a harvest now in the name of Jesus. Be blessed, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in this time where people need seed. They need provision. We call every seed to give an abundant harvest in Jesus' name. Amen.